Okay, so we've talked about the three C's, and now I want to talk in more detail about the first C, capacity. So this is trying to get at, can you afford the mortgage that you're applying for? Can you afford it? So it seems like a natural question to ask, but I'm going to explain in this talk that there are actually a lot of problems with trying to measure and analyze capacity, and it doesn't actually have such a great track record in predicting where defaults will occur and where they won't. But let me go over the measurement, some of the traditional measurements anyway. So one thing is to take the borrower's monthly payment, which will include principal, interest, taxes, and homeowners insurance. The reason that you require insurance and taxes in the monthly payment is that the lender does not want the borrower's failure to pay taxes to then impede the value of the collateral. That is, the lender no longer can take possession of the property because there's a tax lien on it. And the homeowner's insurance, if the loan-to-value ratio is 80 or 90%, then the lender really is at risk if the whole house burns down. So you want to make sure the borrower pays for insurance also. So all of that is called PITI. And you typically compare that monthly payment to monthly income, and that's sometimes called the front ratio. So it's the ratio of the monthly payment to monthly income. And there have been various rules of thumb people have used over the years. I think maybe 23% used to be the standard, that if it was over 23%, it was risky, less than 23%, not. Clearly, a precise boundary like that is inappropriate. Maybe at best you could use this as a rough guideline or rule of thumb for when for affordability. It's not, certainly can't be a sure thing. And then there's something called a back ratio, which adds in the payment plus other debt payments. So let's say you had a student loan. Sorry, I'm not writing this very clearly. It says other debt payments. Payment plus other debt payments. Let me just write it a little bit more clearly. Payment plus other debt payments divided by income. And so I guess that, for example, student loans would be in that category. Or a month, car loans, things like that. And so the back ratio, I guess a traditional limit was something like 28%. So if you added in the other debt payments and the monthly payment, it was more than 28%, then maybe the person couldn't afford the house. Now I'm going to give a bunch of arguments why these ratios and these measures of capacity are problematic. First of all, there's a lot of measurement problems. There are a lot of people whose income is not easily measurable. Classic things like self-employed people, do they have a regular monthly income or not? What should you use as their average if it varies a lot? So you have that problem. You have the problem of measuring other debts. Let's say somebody has credit card debt. How much do you reckon that they have to pay off each month? So credit card debt can be hard to measure in terms of getting the back ratio. If they have income from assets, how does that figure in? So that's a problem. The other thing is that in addition to income, there is this whole issue of having assets available. So if they've got 3 years of mortgage payments saved up in the bank, do you have to worry about anything about their income versus somebody who maybe only has 1 month worth of mortgage payments saved up? So there are differences there. I guess this gets beyond measurement to just sort of substantive issues of capacity. Another thing is that for depending on people's spending habits, for some people, 23% front ratio could be very easy. Like if they're very thrifty in their other in the rest of their life, maybe they could afford 30% payment to income ratio. For someone else, it could actually be very hard. Some people, if they've got a lot of other spending that they believe is necessary that or that they're unwilling to cut back on, then maintaining a 23% ratio would be very hard. So, overall, I think capacity is not a reliable measure. It's very hard to measure in a reliable way. And my recollection is that it was very hard once you took the other factors into account, things like credit scores, loan-to-value ratio, loan type, and so on. It was very hard to see a significant contribution of capacity measures in default outcomes. So there's actually a fair amount to be said for not worrying so much about the capacity issue. I think that for me to say that, that's bound to be controversial because there's this widespread view that what happened in the mid-2000s is, oh, we gave mortgages to people who couldn't afford them. They didn't have the capacity. There are people on both sides of left and right who make that accusation, with the left kind of blaming banks, predatory banks, and the right blaming government policy. And I think if you just step back on, and look at historical analysis and these problems of measurement and the fact that capacity is not the same for everybody, even people who have similar numbers, that the notion that what went wrong in the 2000s was a giving loans to people who didn't have the capacity or couldn't afford them, I think may be somewhat questionable. That I think there were definitely loans that should not have been made or should not have been made on the terms that they were made. But I don't think that the capacity issue is the one that deserves the most focus.